Just a heads up, everyone, these are adults having adult conversations, so there is the possibility of adult language. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Magic Lessons, a podcast produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. I'm Elizabeth Gilbert, and I just wrote this book called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. But even when I was finished with the book, I didn't feel like I was really finished with the subject. So I wanted to make this podcast where I could take the subject of creativity out into the world and have real conversations with real people about it. And that's where magic lessons come from. And what are magic lessons? Roadmaps for the path to creativity, the extra nudge we need when we're feeling stuck in our creative lives. Hey everyone, welcome to Magic Lessons. I'm Liz Gilbert. And today I'm calling Melissa Phillips in California. Hi, is that Melissa?
This is Melissa.
Melissa, it's Liz Gilbert. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being part of this.
Well, thank you for having me. This is pretty exciting.
Well, let's get a magic lesson. Should we do it?
Yes.
Should we try?
Yes, let's try.
So listen, I was really, really touched by your letter, and I was wondering if I could ask you to essentially go over what you had said to me about why you wanted to talk and what's going on with your creative life right now. Do you mind just doing that for us?
Sure. I'm a songwriter, and I'm not a very fast writer in general, but about 3 years ago, my sister passed away, and that was really just like such a shell shock. It was very awful, of course, and really struggled with trying to just move forward in general. And when it came to writing, not only did I not have any interest in doing that, but by the time I felt like I was ready to sit down again and write, all that I was really thinking about was her death and what had happened, and that was all that was in my head. And I didn't necessarily want to write about that because it felt very personal, and I didn't want to tell that story necessarily to the whole world, but I feel like I have to write through it to get to a point where I could write again, period.
Right. And that reluctance to want to talk about that publicly has stopped you from getting to even writing through it. Is that
Absolutely,
what I'm
yes.
hearing? Yeah. Can I ask you to tell me a little bit about your sister, or is that too painful for you to talk about in any detail?
I can talk a little bit about it. She's my younger sister, and she was just so special and so funny and wonderful. She was a mom. She had two little kids.
Oh, man.
And I have a wonderful niece and nephew now, and they are just amazing and thriving. But even though we knew she was sick for a couple of years, it was still obviously very shocking, and we never would have been prepared to go through that no matter how long we had with her.
Yeah.
She was 32 when she died.
Oh, Melissa.
And it was just, you know, it was devastating to everybody.
Wow. And tell me also about your history as a musician. Those are the two histories that I felt like I kind of needed to know a little bit, and I'm sorry to pry. Was who is she, and who are you as a musician?
Sure. As a musician, I'm kind of a late bloomer. I didn't really get started making my own music until about the last 6 years, and it's been hard and wonderful and exciting, but writing isn't easy to me. I'm slow. I really take my time. I feel like I wait until I tell my story, you know, or until I have a story to tell. I don't really like to feel pressure at all, and part of being in music is really about, you know, about promoting yourself and about keeping pace with other people, and so there's a part of it that I struggle with anyhow, but I really try as much as possible to be honest and authentic, and that was another part of writing that I struggled with, was I felt like I wasn't being honest and authentic by not telling the story, or at least writing through it a little bit, and I just, as much as possible, try to, you know, do things for the right reasons, not just to move myself forward with music, but just as a person.
Right. You know, I love the term late bloomer, by the way. because you're still really young. So I think we all may have different perspectives on what constitutes a late bloomer. I don't know if you know the poet Sharon Olds. Have you ever heard of her?
No.
She is one of the most beautiful, soulful, wonderful poets, and she's one of my poet laureates. Like, we all have our personal, talismanic artists, and she's one of them for me. And she had a line once that she said, "I was a late bloomer, but anybody really who comes into bloom ever is very, very lucky."
I like that.
I do too. And the reason I want to bring that up is because one thing that I feel in you is a sort of anxiety about time, right? There's this
absolutely
anxiety about, like, it took me a long time to get myself going as a musician. It takes me a long time to write songs. It's taking me a long time to process my sister's death. You know, I feel this sort of anxiety about, like, pacing of your life in a way. And I just want to remind you that one thing that grieving and creativity have in common is that neither one of them exists in a normal human 24-hour scale. Mm. Both of them have their own clock. Both of them take however long they take.
Mm. Yes.
You know, we live in a culture of deadlines, and you know, you spoke about a little bit of discomfort with self-promotion and with productivity. I mean, I feel like what I really want for you is for you to release yourself as much as possible from that time frame, because that's a time frame that grew up out of an agricultural and industrial productivity model. and going along with that time frame, there's a whole other level of time that's sort of pressed upon us by society, and that's the time of, like, a woman's life. You know, like, mm-hmm. by this age you should have become this. By this age, you're supposed to be married. By this age, you're supposed to have this many children. You know,
right.
By this age, you're supposed to have your mortgage paid off. By this age, you know, there's all these sort of charts and graphs. They're not organic. And you feel to me like a person of great organic ethic. You know, that you have within you an ethic that's your own. And I want you to try to unlatch that as much as possible from the inhumane machinery of contemporary American time. You know, so you will grieve your sister at the pace that it is appropriate for your soul to grieve her. That is the only pace that you need to be working at on that. And you will write your songs at the pace that is appropriate for them to be written. And your music will come out when it's ready and when you're ready. Period. Period. And there's no deadline on any of those things that is as important as honoring the pace that needs to be worked at. You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
So I hope that can help you, because I don't want you to be, in addition to everything else that you have to process and go through in your life, I don't want you to be watching the clock and counting. You know, and I, look, you know, when I was learning how to write, it used to take me almost a year sometimes to write one 8-page short story.
Really?
And sometimes it would take a year and a half because I didn't know how to totally do it yet. You know, it's a relationship that you, by your own admission, you still feel like you're sort of new to, and you're still making friends with it. You know, there's this spirit that inhabits you that wants to write, and you're still negotiating your relationship with that thing. The other thing I want to say, and this might seem really out of place and might seem kind of jarring, but I just want to throw it out there. I think it's possible that you might have a little bit too much respect for music.
Okay.
I could absolutely
understand that. Yes.
You are obviously a really ethical and really serious and really heartfelt person, and I feel like you may be in the category of people who cannot make art very freely because they have too much reverence for it. And now I'm going to say something really irreverent, and I hope it's not offensive, but I just, it's what came to mind, so I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
You know how sometimes, I can't believe I'm saying this to you. You know how sometimes when someone respects you too much, the sex is no good? I'm sorry. Because it's like, they're kind of asking permission too much, and they're like, they're just, and you just can't get, like, kind of good and sweaty with it.
I love it. That's great.
So I want to know if it's possible for you to dial down the reverence that you have for your art. because you have so much loaded on it, right?
Yeah.
And especially right now, because you're trying to figure out, like, is it appropriate? Is it respectful? Is it reverent for me to write about my sister? Is it not? I kind of want to take that away from you a little bit, because I feel like that might be the thing that's blocking you. Too much respect. You know, you said your sister's really fun. Your sister was really funny, mm-hmm. and really light. And I wonder if there's part of that spirit that you might be able to tap into, and that the way of honoring her might not necessarily be, it might be to write a series of very vulnerable and heartbroken and open songs about your loss, or it might be not. it might be to borrow her playfulness and her light and her spirit and just go a little bit wilder with what you're doing, rather than heavier, to go a little bit lighter. Does that strike a chord? Let's see how I did that.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. I think overall, I probably just as, that's just kind of how I'm wired, is to, take a lot of things pretty seriously. My husband's he's very much the opposite. He's very laid back, and I'm the planner, and I'm more serious, and I always give him a hard time because he jokes about everything, and that's wonderful, and it brings me a great balance because, he and I are so different. But I do struggle with just overall just having a sort of lightness about the way I deal with things. I take things seriously and feel like I have a lot of responsibility, and part of that is just, your experiences and your childhood and how you grew up, but I think that I could certainly work on that, and I know that I bring that into my music, so I know that I need to work on that as well in that regard.
I don't know if you need to work on playing.
That's true.
We all have a million different parts within us, and I think sometimes we get a little trapped in an identity that that's either been put upon us by the way that we were raised or that we've latched onto and sort of said, well, this is who I am. It's not all of you. It's not all of you. It's part of you. There are other parts of you as well, or else you wouldn't have married a playful man, and you wouldn't have laughed when I told you that when you respect somebody too much, the sex is no good. Like, you have it in you, there's nothing to be lost, right? Like, that's part of the game of creativity, is that you might as well try. Like, whenever I feel stuck, I feel like, well, I might as well try the exact opposite of what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing, because what I can't do what I'm supposed to be doing, so maybe that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So there's nothing to be lost, since you're not writing a song anyway. There's nothing to be lost by going in the exact opposite direction of your impulse. And my thought is, I wonder if by trying to write something playful, something light, something with a freer heart, I wonder if that might open you up to then be able to figure out the appropriate way to honor your sister in song, rather than the other way. It sounds to me like you feel like, unless I honor my sister appropriately in song now, I'll never be able to write a regular song again. I wonder if you've got that backwards. I wonder if you just have to be making music that's not related to her in order to find your way back to her, and to free yourself so that when it comes naturally and readily. Does that sound like a possibility?
It absolutely could be a possibility. When I would sit down to write, I felt like all that was in my head was what had happened, and I couldn't get past it. But to be truthful, when I have tried to sit down, I haven't tried to sit and write anything lighter because I just felt so stuck.
Right.
But maybe if I sat down and tried to just go the opposite direction,
yeah,
that will get me unstuck.
Well, the other thing is, too, it's like the amount of love that you have for her and the amount of love that you have for music are both so huge that I fear that your artistic spirit might get crushed underneath it. Because here's my question: how can you possibly write a song that will completely honor her? How? It's such a big assignment. It's like, it's such an enormous task to undertake that if it stops you from working, I don't think that's what she would have wanted for you. you know? And I think the very best way that you can honor her is through your life and your creativity that you waited for a long time and that took you a really long time to uncover and to nourish. That's a life source within you that needs to be in motion, or else it's going to make you sad and heavy. So I kind of feel like giving you an assignment. Can I give you an assignment?
Please, yes.
Can I ask you to write a song that's not about your sister's death and that is, in fact, about joy? And look for that. Look for some story to tell. Because I know you're a storyteller. I've listened to your music, and it's so beautiful. And
thank you.
It's narrative, you know, and which is the kind of storytelling that I really like in songwriting. You remind me a lot of Patty Griffin.
Thank you. She's one of my absolute favorites. She's sort of my poet that I look up to.
She's so great. She has a light, she's got a playfulness in her. She has a dark wit underneath her heaviness, an animating wit. You know, and there's like there's a passion in those songs as well. So I want you to try to access your joy. And I feel like by doing that, and you have plenty of it, right? You've got plenty of it in you, and you know how to find it in the world. You were drawn to marry a joyful person. You were in love with your joyful sister. You know, all of those things there's a part of you that wants very much to be in that channel. So I want you to write a song about joy. And you know what? I'll be damned. I kind of predict it'll end up being about your sister. and it might not be about grief, you know? It might be about celebration. It might be about gratitude. And it might be about her.
Okay.
So that's your assignment.
Okay.
All right? Can I call you later in the summer and see how it's going?
Absolutely. I would love that.
And look, if it doesn't work out, it's just an experiment. Right?
Okay.
And I think sometimes we honor art so much that we think the stakes are higher than they are. I had a wonderful conversation once. I got to interview Tom Waits, and he said something that was really revelatory for me as a creator. And he talked about how much he struggled and how hard it was for him to work and to write when he was a young man, because he wanted everything that he did to be important and serious,
right,
and have magnitude. And then one day he finally realized, oh, I'm just a songwriter. The only thing I do is make jewelry for the inside of other people's minds. I'm just a jewelry maker. I just make a little piece of jewelry for somebody to put inside their mind and look at. And it's just that. It's just that. And it's not, you know, the sun and the moon don't set and rise upon, you know, whether or not I can write a convincing ending to my novel. Like, the polar ice caps aren't going to melt any faster or any slower if I try to write a book and it doesn't work, you know? So the stakes of, and I feel like once we realize as artists that the stakes of our creativity are not as high as we thought they were, then we can also kind of realize that the stakes of our whole lives might not be as high as we thought we were. And then we can step into a lighter way of being. So I want you to make some jewelry decorations for the inside of people's minds that are about joy and celebration and light. And I'm going to check in on you.
Okay.
And whatever it is you end up doing, it's fine. It's fine. Like, if I call you later in the summer and you're like, I couldn't do it, I'm like, all right, cool. No worries. We'll do something else. You know, like, that doesn't, it doesn't all have to work, you know? And it doesn't all have to have magnitude. All it has to do is be in motion and, which is, of course, the definition of vitality, is to be in motion. So I'm just trying to put you back in motion.
Yes.
And the other thing I want to do, if it's okay with you, is I'm going to call up a friend of mine, the novelist Ann Patchett.
Yes, I know that name very well.
Yeah, she's somebody who I want to talk to about this, because she wrote a book called Truth and Beauty. Did you ever read Truth and Beauty?
No, I didn't.
It's a memoir about her best friend's death. The poet Lucy Greeley was her very, very best friend. They were soul twins in a way. And Lucy had a very difficult life and a very painful death. And Anne, after a lot of soul searching, ended up writing a memoir about it. And so I want to talk to her about what's going on with you, because she has a lot to say about how art can help us process process loss. And she's also just brilliant and lovely and compassionate. So if it's okay with you, I'm gonna discuss your case with her.
I'd be okay with that. I don't have a whole lot of people that have been through a similar loss to speak with about this, and it's that's been a difficult part of moving forward as well. And
right.
I would actually be really grateful for that.
We'll do it.
Okay.
All right, sweetie. Go play.
Thank you.
It was really, really lovely to talk to you.
It was wonderful to speak with you, too. Thank you so much for all your insight, and I really appreciate all the advice.
And you got this. You can do this. You can do this. I'm really excited to see what you're going to create.
I'm scared, but I'm excited, too.
Well, scared and excited are conjoined twins, baby. Never one without the other. Never one without the other. All right, Melissa, so we'll catch up later in the summer, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
And thanks for your vulnerability and your candor and your giant, beautiful heart.
It's been just such a pleasure to speak with you.
We'll catch up soon, okay?
Okay, great.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you'll join me next time. Magic Lessons is produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. Michelle Siegel is our producer. Our executive producer is Jesse Thorne. Our theme music is by Dave Cahill. Special thanks to Becky Salatin, Jeffrey Klosky, Michelle Kafopoulos, Lydia Hurt, and Paul Ruest of Argo Studios. If you want to learn more about my ideas on creative inspiration, check out my new book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. It's published by Riverhead, and it comes out September 22nd, 2015. You can find out more information about my comings and goings on elizabethgilbert.com, and you can always find me, personally, on Facebook, because I'm there literally every single day. So let's keep the conversation going. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll join me next time on Magic Lessons. I'm going to be talking to the brilliant novelist Ann Patchett about Melissa's situation and about creativity in general.